Now we move on to talk nutrition. We talk to Anetsi, as we do on a Thursday, and today covering rowing as a sport and how you need to make sure that you are well nourished to participate competitively. And Anetsi, good morning. Welcome to the show on this Thursday morning.
Good morning, Wayne.
And Anetsi, a pertinent topic. And, you know, we've got the Buffalo Regatta. We've got hundreds of rowers in town from all over the country. And they've obviously primed themselves to peak at the regatta this weekend. In a nutshell, what did they do to get to that point, you know, nutrition-wise?
So I thought I'm going to share some evidence that comes from a scientific review article. So there is quite method and madness when it comes to nutrition. I think sometimes people look at pre-drinks and post-drinks and this from a tin and that from a tin, and they think, oh, this is just too much. But in actual fact, it can increase and optimize your performance. And especially in rowers, So the challenge with rowers really is that it's a very high intensity sport and they require a high level of aerobic and anaerobic capacity. So good nutrition will be then essential for successful performance in a rowing competition. So in general, if you look at a rowing competition, it's generally 2,000 meters. Uh-huh. It lasts about 6 to 8 minutes. But during this 2,000 meters, the muscle glycogen is mainly used as an energy substrate, whereas 77% will come from your aerobic energy capacity and 33% will come from your anaerobic capacity. So basically, rowers put all the time and effort in to train to improve their aerobic, their anaerobic capacity, as well as the lactate performance, of the lactate tolerance of the muscle, as well as strength and power. Mm-hmm. So they really have various parts that they have to utilize to get the best out of that 2,000 meters. And this training then must be supported by sufficient nutrition. And nutrition is very important, obviously, for the performance of these athletes, but also to keep them healthy over a long period of time. And so for the strength and the muscle and the energy, these athletes really needs a lot of glycogen. And glycogen generally gets stored in the muscle as well as the liver. And the way that we can up our glycogen stores is mainly by carbohydrate consumption. So this is the place where carbohydrate is definitely your friend.
Right.
And not the enemy.
Okay. Why rowers like drinking beer?
Maybe.
Carbo loading. Okay.
Carbo loading. So the glycogen then plays a store to prevent the fatigue during the competition and also to enhance and maintain the performance as well as the cognitive function of the specific athlete. And unfortunately, if the rowing athlete neglects carbohydrate intake, that's really when your level of performance can go down, and mm-hmm. obviously fatigue will be increased quicker than you want to, mm-hmm. when it comes to the performance of the rower.
Just a question there, Anetsi, if I may. You mentioned cognitive function. So obviously and often in sports and all that, you forget about the brain. But in rowing, it is vitally important. If you can imagine an eight rowing down the river, I mean, your timing and operations and body movement is of utmost importance. So getting the brain functioning is just as important as getting the whole body to function.
Yes. So if you think glucose is the number one energy fuel for your brain, so obviously if you don't consume enough carbohydrates and there's not that glycogen release, then your cognitive function will also be impaired in terms of your concentration capacity.
Right.
Yeah. So in general, athletes will generally train either 1 to 3 times a day, 5 to 6 times a week. And it's very important for them to then consume a sufficient amount of carbohydrate prior to training for them to obviously then increase their glycogen availability. So it's been shown that rowers with a high carbohydrate diet versus a low carbohydrate diet actually had a higher level of enhancement of power output during rowing and training versus the ones that did not consume so much carbohydrate.
Okay, well, that makes sense and, as well.
Yeah, and then if you are one that trains early in the morning, it's definitely not a good idea to skip your breakfast because it will have a negative effect in your performance and your training while you are rowing. So I understand for some people it's really difficult to eat early in the morning, but luckily you can, there's carbohydrate type of drinks that you can consume before you go training, but it's not a good idea to go on an empty stomach training in the morning.
Right. So that also makes sense because then you're not ready.
So your average intake that we look at rows, obviously it all depends on how many times a week, how many hours in a week you train, but it's generally 2,600 kilocalories to 4,900 calories. So it's really recommended that rowing athletes will have an individual plan for their carbohydrate based on the amount of their training intensity and the type of training that they do.
Wow. And that's just a quick comparison to the man in the street who's not, you know, I mean, you mentioned thousands of calories.
Yes, it's so 2,600 to 4,900. So if I think about a lady, for instance, that's got an office job, she maybe walks, give or take, 30 minutes a day, we're looking at 1,350 kilocalories for the whole day.
Yes,
so
yes.
It's literally 3 to 4 times more than what these guys or women need to consume in a daily basis. So we actually work it out scientifically. If you are the one with a lower intensity type of training, we would calculate 3 to 5 grams of carbohydrate per kilogram per day. So according to your body weight, if you maybe train 1 hour a day, 5 times a week, I presume you would fall into that category. Mm-hmm. Moderate intensity training goes more to 2 to 3 hours of training, 4 to 5 times a week. And then it moves right up to 6 to 10 grams of carbohydrate per kilogram per day. So it becomes quite a lot if you think maybe a guy weighs 90 kgs. So we can get to a lot of carbohydrates quickly. And then high intensity training, we classify then as 4 to 5 hours of training, and your carbohydrate requirements will be 8 to 12 grams per 8 to 12 grams carbohydrate per kilogram per day. So obviously these will be the carbohydrates that you'll have to consume in your normal meals. But if it's difficult to maybe eat all of that within your meals in a day, you can then 30 to 60 minutes before training, you can then replenish it with easy digestible carbohydrates. So there's many, I mean, obviously there are supplements that you can buy that contains a lot of carbohydrates, but a simple thing like a fresh fruit juice, like any type of fruit juice, contains quite a bit of, actually a lot of carbohydrates. So if we think about 125 mils of fruit juice will give you 15 grams of carbohydrate.
Right.
It's very easy to consume a glass or 350 mils of fruit juice. So it's an easy way on your way to training to consume some fresh fruit juice, and that will top up your glycogen stores.
And so that's the first stop to preparing your daily nutrition requirements.
Yes, and whether you are on a training day or maybe it's race day, there's different things that we can, it's just choose a carbohydrate that is kind to your gut, because obviously those guys are sitting, so you don't really want your gut to be uncomfortable. And also your GIT is responsible for absorbing and transporting, obviously, the energy to the different parts of the body. So glucose, sucrose, maltose, any of those type of sugar sources or carbohydrate sources, I should rather say, can be used. And sports drinks, obviously, these days, quite a good option. Some of them contain vitamins and minerals and maybe some amino acids or even electrolytes. Mm. So not a bad idea to take some of these with you while you are training, or and especially after, but I'll talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
And then there's obviously people that believe there's a place for a performance enhancing supplement.
yeah, bad news.
But there are a few that's been mentioned in this article that obviously is safe and effective. The one is B-alanine, which is just a normal amino acid. So it's known for its ability to maintain or enhance the performance. And it's basically because it fuels muscle carnosine levels, and that then enhances the performance. So it's been said if you take 6.4 grams per day for 4 weeks in rowers, it will increase rowing speed, and it will also increase your 2000 meter rowing performance. Then something that I think every household has got is caffeine. So this is a natural occurring stimulant found in numerous, obviously we know coffee beans, but also in other plants. Uh-huh. And this is actually widely used as a supplement to increase strength and endurance. But apart from that, caffeine also has got a glycogen sparing effect. So you can just think where you need a lot of glycogen stored in your muscle, if it helps in conservatively using the glycogen, then it's an advantage above your carbohydrate consumption. So anything from give or take 3 milligrams per kilogram will increase your 2000 meter training, your 2000 meter rowing performance, mm-hmm. as well as power and distance. So we can definitely, there's definitely a space for caffeine. So there's some reports of 3 milligrams per kilogram 45 minutes before training or before the event, or then 20 grams of carbohydrates with 100 milligrams of caffeine 10 minutes before training. So if you want to do this at home quickly, it basically means a double shot of espresso with about 3 teaspoons of sugar and off you go.
Right. And, you know, talking supplements, you've obviously got to be so, so, so careful that you don't end up inadvertently using illegal substances.
Yes, because obviously the high performance athletes, I'm sure there's some or other way that they sort of get tested the rules and regulations. But with saying supplements, but there's so much evidence. I read actually an article in preparation where there was two Olympic rowers, and both of them stated that they have never used they don't like to use things like, if we think about your sports supplements, that they choose to use food and where it has been effective for them their whole life without really going the supplement way, they are still Olympic medalists.
Yes.
So I think people, there's the assumption out there that if I use sports performance products in some or other supplement way that I will do better. But it's not that way. If you know how to use normal food and your timing is correct, then you can get exactly the same performance from normal food than buying specific supplements.
Right.
Yes,
that makes sense. So you could supplement the supplements with carefully planned diets and
and then use the ones that's natural amino acids, for instance, like the alanine, leucine. There's many so if you look at the branched chain amino acids, which is part of normal protein, you rather concentrate on those things. And then obviously we know about caffeine, and the very interesting one is beetroot juice. So the reason why this is effective, because beetroot is rich in nitrogen. So how this then enhances your performance really would be the nitrate cause vasodilation, which increases blood flow, which promotes ATP synthesis in the mitochondria. So that's sort of where your energy is produced. And that then improves performance. So the amounts basically would mean 250 mils before rowing, and then maybe 250 mils of beetroot juice later in the day. And this specific evidence was over a period of 6 days. So I think in preparation to a big event, you can maybe make a beetroot juice week. Or then 140 mils of beetroot juice 2 hours before training also enhanced the training effort. So it can be considered as an effective supplement for performance enhancing athletes.
Okay, and legally, legal performance enhancing.
Very legal. So with caffeine and beetroot, you are quite safe.
Yeah.
If we then, obviously you will work out the carbohydrate amounts for an individual on a daily basis, but then on your day of performing or even on your training day, it's very important to refuel after your training, because obviously if you train a second time, you need to replenish your glycogen stores so that your muscle can recover as fast as possible. And so the secret really with all of that is as quickly as possible. We only have a 30-minute opportunity, window of opportunity for recovery.
Yes.
So if you get out of that boat, you start putting back some carbs into your body. If you want to, even a little bit of protein is not a bad idea, but it needs to happen 30 minutes after. So easy digestible carbohydrate, and also maybe a protein that's easily absorbed. This is maybe the opportunity to use whey protein, because maybe food is not like a good quality protein is not easy to maybe get after training or a race. So maybe then you will use your whey protein and generally in those there's a lot of branched chain amino acids like the leucine or alanine that I've mentioned before. And we're looking at, in terms of protein, we look at about 0.3 to 0.4 grams protein per kilogram body weight. And when it comes to carbohydrates, we look at about 1.2 grams per kilogram.
Okay.
So that's what you want to refuel yourself with after training or after an event, so that your body can recover, so that tonight if you have to go training again, that you've got decent supply of glycogen, that you can put a lot of training effort in. Because otherwise, if you know, with training, if you don't really put the effort in, you won't necessarily enhance your performance at an event. So all of these little things work together to get the best out of your training, so that you can obviously perform the way you want to perform.
And just an interesting point which does make sense is that you are, how can I say, you know, if you're training more than once a day, You need to remember that you need to nourish yourself more than once a day. You know, it's not a case of, oh, well, I've done all my eating for the day and I've got all my supplements. Right, let's go out there and row. We've got to, if we're doing it maybe lunchtime in the evening again, we've got to make sure that we've got the energy stored up ready for those sessions as well.
Yes, so that's why we've got the carbohydrate guidelines in terms of training times and obviously days of training, and also in conjunction with that, we will actually work out the protein as well. So in sports people, you want to at least consume 1.5 grams of protein per kilogram body weight, maybe even go up to 2 grams per kilogram. So that protein consumption with your carbohydrate consumption, if you are somebody that trains 5 times a week, maybe twice a day, you can't really neglect the food that you eat and the amount of food that you eat. You have to make sure that you get to those quantities to keep up the performance and to keep up the training.
Well, that makes sense. And, you know, this week, obviously, you know, we've got the rowers in town. Other high-performance sports, for instance, cycling, running, they obviously have their own regimes and their own requirements based on how the race goes and also how you maybe time your race.
Yes, on average, when it comes to an endurance type of race, maybe let's say a marathon or a long cycling race like 100 kilometers, we would aim for, conservatively speaking, 30 grams of carbohydrate per hour. So you will go 30 grams times the body weight. Not the body weight, 30 grams per hour of carbohydrates. So you would know how long you more or less will take to complete the event. And then you work out with the time in mind, how much you need to consume per hour. And then obviously there's fluid guidelines too, that guides us on how much fluid we need to consume on an hourly basis. And especially if I'm thinking cycling races and even marathons, the temperature of the day is a huge contribution to how much. So will I go to the lower end of the volume or will I go to the higher end of the volume? You have to take weather into account. If it's a very hot day, definitely the higher end. And if it's a cooler day, maybe go towards the lower end. Right. But with these things, trial and error and a little bit of practice will sort of, every person will get their own perfect golden standard of what works for them for that specific event. But luckily there's guidelines for each and every sport. We are fortunate these days that there's clever people that do scientific research about all of these things. And if we read up and we try it out, it will have a benefit for us.
It definitely will. And of course, that's where people like yourself come into the picture as a nutritionist. And talking that, if somebody wants to make use of your services, how do they get in touch with you?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at Junetsi.
Great. So, Netsi, thank you very, very much. Have a great day, and thanks for sharing the information with us. And, of course, this will be on our website later on today as well.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Netsi. Cheerio then. That's Netsi with today's Nutrition Chat.